Hello and welcome. I'm Sam Harris, and it is my true honor and pleasure to host you here on the Growth Mindset podcast. I talk to amazing individuals about how they achieve their dreams and break down the strategies it takes to lead explosive tech businesses to being paid to travel the world. I deep dive into topics such as Bitcoin and fintech, or just how to get stuff done, with the goal of increasing our own collective wisdom and making us all happier, healthier, and wealthier. Who doesn't want that? This week on the podcast, we have Ben Marshall, a vegan bodybuilder who went from the aerospace industry to work in media, as well as being a part-time model. So we talk about the modeling industry and how to get into it and the pitfalls of drugs and sexual pressures that seem rather prevalent in the industry. And then, of course, we discuss workout routines and motivation, food, ethics, as well as competitive eating challenges and some other fun stuff for you to enjoy. For reference, this was actually recorded December 2017. So when we're talking about things that happened in January, we meant January 2017, not the January 2018, just so you don't get confused. And I've probably made things more confusing now, but whatever, it really doesn't matter when I turn vegetarian or not, no one really cares. So on that note, let's dive into the podcast.
So my name's Benjamin Marshall. I am a 25-year-old university graduate from England, but I'm currently living over in Australia, in Perth. I worked in aerospace and defence when I finished university, and then decided that I kind of had enough of that and decided to go explore the world a little bit. So I've been over here for just over a year now. I now work in creative media, doing videography and photography, freelance alongside personal training and health and fitness.
Was that related to modeling, or was that just a different side thing?
No, so the modeling came in when I was probably like 18. I kind of started going to the gym and then spotted, and it just kind of blew up. I did blow up, so that sounds far more exciting than it was. I never took it seriously, and I got scouted by somebody, and it just led to a number of photo shoots with different photographers all over England, and then went to Portugal. And that was really fun. And I was always more interested in the actual health and fitness aspects of the art than the potential of modelling. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it really hard on camera.
Yeah.
But I never chased it. And then when I was at uni, I kind of just didn't bother doing it. I did a few things, but nothing. When I left uni, went over to LA and worked with an agency over there, Wilhelmina. They're a pretty good company. And they took a load of shoots over there, did that. Came out to England, but again, not being based in London, just didn't fit my lifestyle.
Yeah. Okay, so if someone wanted to be a model and fits the general description, they just go to an agency.
There's different ways you can do it. You can be scouted, or you can apply online. But the best way to do it is research kind of what are the best agencies. Because there's so many bad ones out there that will take advantage of you. I've dealt with quite a few, like, message you and be like, oh, I think you've got potential, like, we'll take care of you. Just pay us this much. A proper agency will never ask for money because you are an investment for them.
Yeah.
They make money out of you doing shows. So, like, you'll never have to pay. And so many people I know have done that and like, oh yeah, I got a photo shoot, like, I have to pay this much. It's like, you should never have to pay for a photo shoot. So the best way to do it is look on, see what city you're in, what agencies are there, look at the rating, and then there's a list of top modeling agencies in the world, and see who they're linked to, who they work, you know, if they work with Next, if they work with Premiere, or Models One, they're going to be reputable. If they don't have any ties to any of the international countries, or don't have any ties to any good companies at all, then they're just going to put you, they're going to take your money and boom. But you can just basically see when their castings are. They'll have every week, they have an open time. You just go along and they'll look at you and see if they think you can make them some money.
Is it kind of weird when you're at a casting, if someone looks at you, then do you have to, like, take your clothes off? And
you don't feel like a person, you feel like a wall painting or a piece of meat. Like, you just saw people looking at you so subjectively and kind of taking you apart, and they'll make comments like, oh, don't like your shoulders, or you have to be very kind of withdrawn from that, because it's not a personal attack, it's just an observation. But you have to remember that a lot of time with modeling, it's not about looking good, it's about looking different. So some of the best models in the world, especially men for fashion, are skinny guys with really strong jaws, or have got very defined nose. They're not necessarily classically good looking.
Some people, like, look better on photos. Actually, you meet them, you're like, I don't think I would.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
I got told a couple of times, like, oh, we think you're really good looking, but we couldn't use you for fashion. I don't have a fashion look at all. So I know I will never do fashion work. But it's
so what kind of modelling work have you done?
It's mostly commercial stuff. Swimwear, when I was younger, yeah. Underwear, was just kind of like catalogs. Commercial's kind of just what appeals to everyday people rather than the high fashion where you've got models wearing clothes that normal leather wear normally.
Yeah.
It's just basically like this person is wearing something that both of them are extreme. Like you see it and you go, oh, I could be that person. Like,
yeah.
I could look good in that t-shirt because that person's in that t-shirt.
Okay, cool. Okay. That's weird. Was it a difficult thing to learn?
I was very lucky. I worked with some very good photographers. They almost guided me to which agencies were good, but they did warn me, like, oh, but because I had worked with these good photographers, the agencies didn't just kind of spit me out. The world could be horrible. The model could be really bitchy and just straight, no, we're not interested.
Got many friends from models?
I have a couple. I found a lot of them are very simplistic, both male and female. A lot of them are very good looking, and I think they've played off that most of their lives, and so don't have to worry about anything else, and they can be very superficial. There's always that to remember, but it doesn't mean they're nasty people
always
at all. But especially dating models, it's never worked out that well.
Can you give more information about that?
Oh, just down to personality. So you meet someone on a catwalk, or I worked with a couple of people when I was in Portugal, and they were really lovely, really attractive people, very lovely looking. But then when you start dating someone, want to maybe progress and get to know them a bit more, there was a lack of similarity. And I think it's also the fact that I didn't take it that seriously. So I'd be like, oh, let's go do something else. But they'd be like, oh no, let's do this, but they make my tan. Like, shoot. It just becomes very overtaking in that world. And I guess that's why I didn't do very well in it, because I never really submerged myself in it completely.
You think if you had, you would have been more successful?
Yeah, definitely. When I was in England, I never chased an agency at all. Basically because I was from Herefordshire with you.
Right.
Wasn't the best. So whenever I did fellowships, it was always kind of off like collaborations. If I lived in London, I'd gone to lots of agencies and really pushed it, then probably.
Yeah.
But, I mean, over here in Perth, modeling it seems is really small. They just don't have the need for it. And especially this time of year, I arrived this time last year and I did go to an agency, spoke to them, and I was on their books, and then I went traveling.
Yeah.
If I'd stayed, then I would have been here for the winter, which is the biggest time of the year.
That's weird.
You
think summer's...
Well, it's because, so the agencies all work internationally, so they'll send people to the fashion weeks over in Paris, the fashion weeks, which are always done between...
Yeah.
Kind of, they've come to an end at the end of the time.
Sure. Okay. Can you tell me how you got scouted exactly? Some guy just walked up to you and was like, mate,
here's my card. I was in the gym. And a guy came up to me and was like, oh, do you model? And I was like, no. And he was like, oh, I think you could. Would you mind, like, I'm a photographer, would you mind modeling for me? He was kind of like a low... He wasn't anyone very big, but I was like, yeah, okay, that'd be interesting. I had a friend who was a model, and I guess I kind of wanted to kind of not be like him, but I was like, oh, that's really cool what he does, so maybe I'll have a go as well. And I did the photos with him, and they were nice, they were nothing special at all. And I just put them on online, and I got a message from a guy called Simon Barnes, who is one of the big fitness photographers in England.
Yeah.
And he does a lot of stuff in men's health, and he's worked with some really high-class caliber people. And he just seen one of my photos and thought I had, like, potential.
Yeah.
And so he was like, messaged me, said, do you want to come to London and do a proper photo shoot rather than this kind of backyard one? And I had no idea what I was doing. I was like, yeah, okay, that sounds good. I worked with him, and then so I got good shots with him. From there, he pointed me in the right direction. There was a website called Models Mayhem, that's what it's called. And you could put it up there, basically like Facebook, connect with people. And I put his photos up, and because I had his photos, other photographers were like, oh wow, he's actually got some good photos. And then I just connected with people and networked. And that's kind of how it started. And it was fun. It was you find photographers, you go, oh wow, their imagery is really cool, I'd like to work with them, and give them messages and see if they would want to work with you. Most of the time they did. I guess I had, because I was quite young and into fitness, it kind of worked well. Whereas a lot of the guys they shoot are the big muscle bodybuilders and kind of the older guys. So I think I even had a different look for them. And that's kind of how I got into it.
Okay, that's kind of cool. What was going through your head when the first guy was like, maybe come to my yard and we'll take some photos of you?
Yeah, it was a little bit weird. I think I remember being like, that's just weird. Like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I think I was 17, 18. Yeah. 17, 18. And I was just like, don't know. But then I think I spoke to my mum about it. And I gave her the card she'd given me. And she was like, oh, this is... Because where we come from, there's not very many people.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, this is so-and-so's husband. And I was like, okay, well, he's not a weirdo then, actually.
Yeah.
He's a normal person, and I think
that's handy.
Yeah, exactly. I was just like, oh well, why not? Like, what's the worst that can happen? I was like, I take some photos, I look bad at them, and then I'll never do it again. But
you go online, I was like,
yeah, but it worked out pretty well, and
yeah, definitely.
I think it helped me a lot as well because I wasn't that confident when I was younger, and it. Yeah, it made me
very definitely came out a bit.
Yeah, it really did. And like now, obviously, working in video and photography, like that sparks the whole kind of transition, I guess. And so I'm very thankful I did it. It was definitely a big bonus for me.
Have you ever had any propositions to go into like porn and things?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
especially when I was on like Modern Mayhem, there was like a lot of people were messaging me like, hey, do you do nude shoots? Do you do live nudes? And I never do. Like, the only time I've ever done like underwear was when I knew the stuff really well, and it was like for a magazine. Or an article. That's inserted a couple of those. And then when I was doing stuff for like an actual catalogue, so it's like 300 pairs of underwear.
Yeah.
And you just try them on and off, and they take a photo of kind of your shin up to your kind of nipple area. And that just goes in, just stock photos. It's nothing like provocative or anything. But no, I never wanted to do that sort of thing. But yeah, you get a lot of people and then like, oh, you'll pay you this much money and do this.
How much money?
Like, for new shoots, you can get paid like £500 to £1,000 per shoot.
Okay, and that takes like a few hours.
Yeah, like 2 hours. So like it's in particular was good money, but I would never be interested in that at all. I was more interested in working with actual photographers that I liked their work. And also you tend to find the guys that do nude work, their work isn't that good quality. Like I found personally. There are some fantastic implied nudes out there.
What's an implied nude?
Implied nude is like you can tell someone's naked, like the shadow covers everything. Yeah, or it's like
your leg in the way, or
legs in the way, or you're like lying in the bed. It's very sexual, and that's not the modeling I ever wanted to do. So it was never. It's very easy for me to say no.
Okay.
So yeah, it was never something I wanted to do.
Cool. Well, I actually got a proposition to do some porn working modeling things.
Really?
But it was in the gym again. So I was actually in the shower, and he came up to me in the shower and started talking to me. I was like, okay, this is a bit weird. I'm kind of showering and naked, and like, maybe you could just talk to me later or something.
Yeah, that's not the most appropriate time.
Yeah, it's sort of a bit odd. And yeah, then he kind of said he worked for like a modeling agency, but they kind of were for the Asian market. And so he'd like me to come in and do some shoots with them. I was like, okay, well, can I get some more details? Why? What? Yeah. And then it then came to be that it was like porn and he wanted like gay porn. And I was like, I don't think that's really my kind of thing. But I carried on emailing him just to see like, what the fuck? Like, okay, how much do people get paid? Where does this, see if you find any details about it? And he was offering me like similar amounts. And so I wasn't really interested. I was more like, I'll come and like sit in the room whilst you're using photo shoots with other people and see what the hell goes on.
You're intrigued, but you don't want to be part of it. Yeah. No.
Be in it myself.
No, definitely not.
But he didn't really get that part of it. And they just started getting odd random texts being like, can I come to your house and like give you a blowjob? I'm like, no. Yeah, yeah, some really odd messages from him after that.
You do, and it's interesting because when I had a lot of that as well. Like when I was in LA, so I was just out of university. So I was 22.
Yeah,
and I was working with this big company, and the agent that I was working with, I couldn't work for them because I had my visa.
Yeah,
but I was set up with a load of shoots. Yeah, and then there were times you'd be like, oh, you know, what, can you show me a full body one? And because it's an agent, you're like, yeah, of course, like this is me full body,
yeah,
wearing clothes. And you're like, oh, can you do like this shoot coming up would be like swimwear, can you put some board shorts on? I'm like, yeah, do that. And like, oh, would you mind taking the board shorts off? And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. And this was a person quite high up in one agencies, and I was fully aware of what he was doing. I always avoided it, but I was very aware. Like, it would be very easy to...
Yeah.
But you didn't want to just say no.
Yeah, at any one point, it kind of seems like the next small logical step. It doesn't seem like a big ask.
No, not at all. And I did feel pressure because I didn't want to say no and potentially ruin contact I had in this huge agency. Mm. So I'd always avoid it rather than calling him out on it, which isn't good. I think people realize how desperate people are for money and that they can do that. People do exploit their...
Yeah, some people just have like this weird gene for like asking difficult questions and putting you in awkward spots.
Yeah, there's actually another agency over here in Perth that contacted me when I first got here last year. And I was talking to a friend of mine, one of the personal trainers in the gym, and just happened to have a conversation. And he was like, oh, is it this agency? And I was like, yeah, he's like, yeah, they're just all gay porn.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. He was like, they contacted me. He's like, I'll pay you $500, send me a video of you masturbating and all this. And I was like, okay, I'm not doing this guy ever again. It's surprising how common it is. And sadly, a lot of agencies are non-genuine. Yeah, I've been very lucky and been in contact with very good people in the industry.
Yeah, it seems easy to lead your way.
Oh, so I can completely see why boys and girls get taking advantage of it. It's awful.
What about drugs as well? We haven't spoken about that. Ooh.
Like a lot of cocaine in the modeling scene. It's not for me, but there doesn't tend to be much else in that industry. Quite a lot of E as well. Like I went to a couple of parties and there was just a horrendous amount of drugs.
Yeah.
But then it's the entertainment industry and people either do have a lot of money and are famous and like, kind of feel they can do that. Or they want to be, and so they imitate it.
Yeah. So did you feel pressure to like join in?
No. I mean, I was offered it. I've never really felt that kind of pressure.
Do you feel like the people that did join in maybe got more opportunities?
I don't think it was really that, but it could be if other people who are maybe both at the same level, and if you're partnering with the agency a lot and someone else isn't, then
yeah, you might.
Maybe they're going to put you forward. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a story being pressured for drugs, but I do have another story for being pressured for like sex and stuff with potential like we get a better job and
things.
Yeah, so we went to Japan basically on business, and like our boss's boss or something like this invited us to just like go drink some ramen in his room. And we're like, yeah, sure, that's nice. We've never really had a chance to hang out. That seems cool. And he was really like, oh, and get into the Japanese mode. We'll get put on like our dressing gowns and stuff and like. Obviously, when they kick us, that's how you do the onsen thing, but in dressing gowns and stuff. So that was fine. And then we started drinking and got more drunk and things. And turns out he's gay and is allowed to not be faithful to his boyfriend because of that's how gay people work and stuff. And we just spoke about that. Slowly, people got more drunk. And then, for some reason, there was like a massage at some point. Things just sort of kind of got weirder and weirder. And then they sort of spoke about like potential opportunities for things and then implied that maybe he would like to have sex with us. And they're like, ah, maybe we don't want to have sex with you or anything. And
how does that come up in conversation that I maybe
want to have sex with somebody? It's really hard to explain, but like it took like a process of many hours. And it's kind of like just like edging up and up and then kind of meeting. Oh, well, it's fine. Don't worry. We'll just carry on. Like talk about whatever else is going on. Okay, that's okay. And then my friend was sick and had left. I was there by myself. Next thing I knew, he had his arm around me and he was drawing lines in my six pack with his finger. And it was just like, oh God, I think we have to leave now. How do I get out? I don't really, shit. I mean, I want to keep my job with...
That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Get pressured, put in situations where you don't want to offend
somebody. Yeah, you basically have to be rude to them to stop it, and it's like,
but it shouldn't be the case.
Yeah, why am I being the, you're that one's definitely doing the rude thing on paper.
Yeah.
And explaining this to anyone else, it sounds mental, but like right here in the moment, I don't know how to like get out of this. It's just,
yeah,
so what?
No, I can understand where that would come from. But.
Yeah. But as in disguise, it's not so bad, but it's still kind of weird. But then you just think, what happens to girls then?
Yes, I think it can be worse for girls. I think it is an issue which can be sometimes that it only happens to girls, and it definitely isn't. It does happen to boys as well. The threat is a lot stronger for girls, I guess. But I think the actual situation can happen to both.
Yeah.
And it is really horrible, especially in a position of power. If this is your boss's boss's boss, like, you can't... You should be able to just say, and be very clear, but some people don't do that. Don't
no.
They try and exploit things.
Okay, cool. Well, give a change of topic. I'm currently making my notes in your gym diary.
Yes.
Can you take me through how you got into the gym from being a skinny guy and then like the kind of things you followed, like the best routine?
Yeah.
Success.
So I used to do a lot of sport when I was younger, but it was always individual sports. I swam nationally when I was younger. That was my big thing. So I was, skinny. And I was tall, and then I got into like rock climbing and did a lot of that.
No way, I did rock climbing over May, so in the whole month in Greece.
Yeah, I never did that well, but it's like I did.
I started at the start of May in Greece and did it for a month.
So, so cool. Yeah, I used to love that sort of stuff. And then it got to like when I was, I think, 16, I was going to college, and I see all these like big, bubby guys, and I was like, oh, I want to be just like them. I think it's like, kind of time where boys feel a lot of pressure to be manly, and so I started getting to the gym. I had no idea what I was doing. Like, my diet was pretty awful. Like, I'm like, oh, I need to eat all this pasta, and then I'd be like, but no carbs after six.
Yeah,
it was so funny.
You just do something heavy for a bit and walk somewhere else in the gym and do something else. And,
yeah, I had no structure at all.
Yeah,
well, I made some good progress, some newbie gains. And then I went to the modeling, but then I did the whole kind of like, oh, carbs are bad for you, so I shouldn't eat carbs. And again, I had no understanding of knowledge. And it wasn't until I went to university and I got into rowing.
That was what you were.
Yeah, exactly. So because I was tall and I went to a good university for rowing, I was like, I want to do rowing. And the first thing they did was strength and conditioning, and I just loved it. And so that kind of took over the process of going, working out early, and seeing the change in my body, and forcing me out to eat more food, which was great. When I finished rowing, because I didn't want to have to commit to the 40 hours or whatever it was a week rowing, I did water polo, but still the strengthening still remained. And that kind of became like the goal. It was like, I really enjoy process. It's like my time. And so I educated myself a lot more. I did my personal training qualification, did nutrition courses, and I realized that my... Looking back now, it was just so confused and so...
Yeah.
I just had no knowledge whatsoever.
Okay, so what is like the ideal routine or...
The ideal routine is... Depending on the person. It really is something very personal, but the ideal routine is one that someone enjoys and can stick to.
Okay.
So I will never recommend what I do to anyone else because I train 7 days a week and I train for like 2 to 3 hours a day. You don't need to do that. There's no benefit in doing
that. Okay, but what's in your routine then?
It's kind of changed recently. I used to follow kind of a legs, push-pull, kind of hypertrophy, strength, functional working out. So a lot of, like squats, deadlifts.
Yeah.
Very compound movements.
So like heavy weights, so you're doing just five reps or like
30 reps? Sometimes down to like 3 reps, sometimes 1 reps. I really enjoyed the feel of moving something heavy. But also doing higher reps as well. But recently I've just been put on a program. So my friend, he does strength and conditioning for the NBA. But he was like, oh, would you be interested in actually trying this program out?
Okay.
And I'll always say yes. And so he wrote me this program, which I'm following at the moment. It's a 5-day-a-week split. So Monday's legs, and you focus on kind of heavy lifting, functional movements, overhead squats, deadlifts, lunges. A lot of single-legged stuff. Tuesday's kind of more of pressing, so chest and shoulders, so complementing each muscle group.
Yeah.
And then like Wednesday, breaking it down to more functional. So Wednesday's kind of like HIIT training and sprints, all the cleans and snatches, Olympic lifting. And the amazing thing with working with him is beforehand, I was really enjoying my program. I was quite stagnant. So I did kind of similar brace and exercises, just looking at progressive overload, which is great for building muscle. But
it kind of gets a bit boring, but you just kind of get used to it and you just sort of go back to the gym, you just do it. And
I still enjoyed it, but it was kind of monotonous. It was the same thing over and over again. So my day was every 3 days was the same thing.
Yeah.
Just going up and weight. Now I have a 4-week cycle. And so this, for example, right now in the strength cycle, so all my lifts are quite low rep, really heavy, and the different movements. In 2 weeks' time, I'll finish, and I'll go probably slightly higher reps and different movements again. So rather than maybe doing pistol squats, I'll be doing one-legged lunges or something. So I'm still working these muscle groups. I'm still progressive overload, different movements. Mm. And it's great. I really, really enjoy it.
Okay. Yeah, no, that sounds way better. Do you think you'd be able to share your routine for like show notes?
I mean, I can share mine to give people ideas. I said I wouldn't necessarily recommend mine to anyone else.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's not this. I think it's just off-putting. Someone sees 2 hours every day. I don't want to do that. Well, the difference is I do. I enjoy it. Mm. Like, I'll finish my workout and I'll stay and do extra stuff. If someone's just getting into fitness and they see that, they're going to put off and probably just ask them.
Yeah,
sure. So it's much better to have a program that works for them, has a little less volume, or it's in and out in an hour, it works around other people's produced schedule. I'm very lucky, I'm very flexible with my time, and I can do that. But so what's your program at the moment?
So, yeah, I haven't had such a structured program whilst I've been travelling, but I'm still trying to do an hour a day of something.
Mm.
And if I can't get to a gym, I'll do maybe half an hour, 40 minutes of like home calisthenics and maybe 20 minutes of running.
You mean like just push-ups and pull-ups? Or do you mean like
generally
handstands and like muscle-ups?
Yeah, I'm trying to get more into the handstands and the other things.
Like, I suck at them.
Yeah, I mean, so much. I'm getting better, but I'm not perfect. By which I just can't do them. But they're better than they used to be, I guess. But interestingly, on your point of like you like just doing 2 hours exercise anyway, my last podcast was literally with the guy from Intense Health, who have this chamber of intense fitness.
Okay.
And basically they use these machines that measure your output, and they have a motor that goes against you, and they do like a really slow cadence. So you do like 5 seconds down and 5 seconds sort of on the other way up.
Yeah.
But you kind of just put your as much pressure as you possibly can the whole time. And after like one set, you're kind of dead. And you basically do your whole body within 17 minutes, and like you are ruined, completely ruined. And that's your workout for 3 days.
Really?
And in terms of muscle growth and stuff, it's all you need.
I'm not sure if I would like that or not, because it's my time. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's
interesting. I guess it comes down to why you work out. Is it the process or the end result? For me, it's kind of both. I love the process. If you haven't got time for the process, or you don't enjoy working out, which some people don't, that's fine.
Mm.
Then that would be the benefit, because you can have the end result.
It definitely feels like for the future, every human being could be on that program, because it's so minimal time, and it's your health should just be so much better if you did that. But the price should have to come down quite a lot. It's like the same price as having a personal trainer or something, which...
Yeah.
Helps. Then you've been talking about diet as part of it. You turned vegan this year.
I did, yeah.
And still managed to keep up a ridiculous body.
Yeah, I went vegan in January. I used to eat so much meat. I used to do eating challenges.
Oh, yeah, me too. I won some.
I've never lost one. I've lost one. That's
maybe we're going to have a vegan off.
I have found one eating challenge. It's really hard to find another one. I'm making it vegan because she cooks for me. But also, going to restaurants now, the options are so good. Like Domino's today has really said that they're going to put vegan cheese on all their menus.
Oh, wow.
Not Domino's, Pizza Hut, sorry. Yeah, there's so many good options. It's so easy. So when I first started, it really was kind of a health thing. Like, how bad this is for me. It's like a smoker realizing how bad cigarettes are. And so that's where I stopped. And that was kind of like my motive. Now it's become animal cruelty. So actually on Monday, I'm doing a pig save, which you're more likely to come, if you want to come
on. That's fun. How does that work?
So they go to the slaughterhouses, go to the abattoirs. And all the pigs go in, and we just try to stop the trucks and basically see the conditions. And
I'll come along.
Maybe offer some compassion before they go into the slaughterhouse and get killed. So there's quite a few of those, but it's when you've kind of had your eyes open to the cruelty and what food actually is, and you don't want animals to die just for your taste buds. And I think not in a big headed way, but I think I'm a very good advocate for it.
Yeah, like the average person, maybe sort of like, oh, maybe I'll get less healthy, and you're like more healthy than most people.
Exactly. And I don't mean to like push that people like, oh, but I need my protein. Like, I haven't had animal products in 11 months.
Clearly have some great gains.
Yeah. So let's go to the gym. Like, let's see who can lift more. Like,
yeah,
I can guarantee you that I will. And it just becomes, so like we do this thing called Cube of Truth.
Yeah. You know, a bit? No.
So basically it's about raising awareness.
Yeah.
And then I do a lot of the interaction with the crowd. So I'll, if someone's looking at it, I'll go up and talk to them and say, oh, do you know what this is? And they're like, oh, this is the stream of animals. I'm like, no, this is how the food you eat gets to your plate. It's just normal slaughterhouse. And they're like, oh, that's, I don't like this because I always buy free range. I'm like, this is free range. Or then they're like, oh, yeah, I would go vegan, but, you know, but yeah, I'm protein, or, oh, but it's too hard, or but it's too expensive. And I'm, because I've done the nutrition, I can be there and be like, oh, you don't need this, or it's bad for you. Like, I'm not there to argue with people. I'm there to try and help people understand. I think that helps a lot. Because I do go to the gym, because I do look the way I do, I think that helps a lot.
There definitely is a way of more young people certainly going vegetarian or vegan.
Oh, definitely. I think it's the way of the world. I can't see the way the trend's going. I would say in 40 years' time, it's very hard to be me.
Yeah, I think just sustainably, we can't keep it up.
And definitely.
Like your McDonald's, everything will just be fake meat. Then you go in and it'll be tasted just as good.
Well, yeah. So there's the whole mock meat, which I really like.
Yeah.
It's actually scary sometimes how good it tastes.
Because,
I mean, one thing
I prefer veggie sausages anyway. Like, yeah, I never really like them that much. Way fatty.
Well, yeah, the fat content is always a fascinating thing for me. But everyone's like, oh, but bacon. But
yeah,
one bacon doesn't taste like it. Bacon's just salty anyway. But if meat tastes really good, the only reason it tastes really good is because it's seasoned really well.
Yeah, if you just cook it really well.
If you say, if you've ever had a boiled chicken breast, oh my God, it's the most tasty thing you've ever had.
If you put the same effort into cooking the vegetable with like the right sauces and spices, it tastes as good.
Exactly. It's so, so much easier. But like, a well-cooked chicken breast does taste good. I can't say it doesn't.
Mm.
Because that would be lying. But you could take that away and have that like that flavour and that texture.
Yeah.
Can mock meats so easily, and you haven't got health implications, you haven't got the environmental impact, you haven't got the death and the cruelty involved in it.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, and it's possibly cheaper.
It's normally cheaper. Like, there's literally no downside to being vegan at all.
Yeah.
And as I said, in the last 5 years it's changed dramatically, so give it, I think, like another 5 years, it's going to be huge.
Yeah, I think it was like 1% people who identified themselves as vegan like a few years ago, and now it's like 5%.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I would like to think that in 30 years' time, it will be
probably enough about vegetarian stuff, but it's really cool. I'm really happy to actually finally talk to someone about it, because I haven't actually done that yet on the podcast, and especially them as a bodybuilder.
Yeah, it's like a slightly different angle, I suppose.
Yeah, it's the last person you think would go down that, which basically means anyone can do it, to not everyone can do. Cool. If I asked you to think of your childhood, are there any memories that you really kind of stand out?
Oof,
like a random story.
That's a very, very broad topic. One of the earliest memories I've got is I was probably about 3 years old, and I was playing outside. I fell over and I cracked my teeth. And I knocked out my front tooth. And I think the reason it sticks with me is because it stayed with me to this day. Is so I knocked my front tooth and I was really upset, and I grabbed it and I ran inside. My mum, being the fantastic woman she was, didn't take me to hospital or anything. She just sat me down and shoved it back in.
What?
And but the root, obviously, the gum healed.
Yeah.
But the root was ripped out. The tooth died. So I had this black front tooth.
Wow.
And then my other front tooth came through next to it. I'm pushing, so I had like three front teeth. So when I was younger, I was just, it was the most awful look ever. And then I had really bad milk teeth as well. Like, it's like, all I had to get to like dentists every week to get them removed. But then when my adult teeth came through, I never had a brace or anything. They just lined up perfectly. Yeah, it was really good. But because of what happened, I was so anal about it. I would brush my teeth religiously 8 times a day. like all through high school.
Eight times.
Like at least. Like as soon as I woke up, after right. breakfast, after lunch.
I think that's unhealthy. Like,
yeah, I would brush them until they bled. I would brush my teeth so much.
Wow.
All through high school, I had a toothbrush in my bag.
That's really bad for you.
It really is.
It's amazing.
And I slowly cut down. And then I was doing like five times a day. Yeah. After every meal, breakfast, and like as soon as I wake up. And still, like, to this day, the first meal I do is always my teeth. Like, I can't. And if I have, like, I have to, like, have clean teeth.
Yeah.
I can't not. And it's weird. Okay.
Just from, like, that event of.
I think it must be from that event because I just, that's such a strong memory in my head.
Yeah, I mean, your teeth are pretty clean now.
Yeah. So brush them now and do it. Yeah, no, I brush them a lot. So I have like.
Can you just use mouthwash more regularly or like chewing gum?
I have a lot of chewing gum. I chew a lot of chewing gum as well. It's like a really. I don't know why. It's like.
How did I never notice that you were like running off to brush your teeth? All the time?
It's just one of those things. It's just like after a meal, I just go to the toilet. Like,
I probably say if you just have like a piece of fruit in the afternoon or a chocolate bar.
Probably not there. I'll probably have gum with me.
Yeah,
but like,
what if you have like a glass of Coke that like fully covers your teeth anyway, or could just not drink Coke?
I don't drink normal Coke anyway, which is a calorie. But
so when you were younger, then back when
even then, I never had that. Like, I think my mum always pushed me towards being like healthy, so we didn't have Coke in the house, we had chocolate in the house, or anything.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's like my one really obsessive thing. I have like six toothbrushes.
Wow, for different like angles or just no, so you like, always have one on you, like so I have like, six pens, so like I won't
use. Yeah, exactly. So like two that aren't used, but yeah, the new one there. I have like one at my girlfriend's place.
Yeah,
one here. I'll have one that's like in my travel bag. That's always in my travel bag, even though my bag is empty. It's just there, so that if I have to grab my bag and go, I've got one there.
What happens if you have a day where you don't have a toothbrush?
It's just never happened.
Never.
I think.
What if you like arrive on the airplane and like your bag is like lost and
it's in my backpack as well. I have two on me. Like, I think it was a couple of times I was traveling, but like the other day I was working and I had this really like, fuzzy taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
I had that and I was brushing or anything like that, and I was like, okay, I need to get some gum, like desperately. Wow.
Do you feel kind of like horrible inside?
It's kind of like it's one of those things. It just makes me like,
wow, I start to feel more conscious about my teeth.
Yeah, like, you know, oh god. When you get into it, like just.
I think I need to not think about this for a while.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I don't think about it. Yeah, when I was younger, it was really bad. I'd literally brush until they bled all the time.
Yeah, it's really bad.
But I think it all stems back to knocking on that front tooth when I was younger and having this black tooth. As a kid, there's photos of me in my house with this, like worn black tooth.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a funny one.
Yeah, thanks for that insight.
Yeah, cool. My little quirk.
What did you have for breakfast?
I had something I have every single day, which is oats overnight with carrot in it, two scoops of protein powder.
Oats, banana with carrot, I think, what?
So it's called overnight oats, but I put grated carrot in mine.
Yeah.
It tastes like carrot cake.
Amazing.
You can do it with zucchini as well or courgette, and it just adds a lot more volume and adds a lot of sweetness to it. Banana in it, it's like banana bread. Make it overnight, the oats get really, really soft and you lose all the starch, and then you've also got the carrot, which is sweet.
Yeah.
Basically, the only way I can describe it is that's like cookie dough.
Wow.
Like when you eat it.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a picture of that.
It doesn't look great. But okay. Yeah, Google Zoats.
Zoats.
Z-O-A-T. That's zucchini oats, and then just mix it in with carrot.
Cool.
So, that's the end of the conversation with Ben. Some great tips on life and working out and modelling. So, into the top tips. Number one, modelling. Research any agencies that you might work with and never pay upfront for a photo shoot. And certainly don't let people pressure you into removing your clothes or taking drugs when that's not what you signed up for. And it is difficult to hold on to these things in the moment. So don't say I didn't warn you. Number two, working out. Success in fitness is about finding a routine that suits you and that you can keep up. But it's also about finding a way to change your routine every 4 to 6 weeks to keep it interesting for yourself and for the body to stop it from reaching a plateau. His gym routine example will be in the show notes, but it probably isn't for most people as it's 2 hours long and very excessive. Number three, food. You can totally be a complete vegan and yet a shining body of health and even a bodybuilder if you eat right. And you really don't need to worry about losing nutritional benefits if you ever felt like just trying it for a bit. His standard breakfast recipe will be in the show notes, and it does sound pretty awesome, so I'm going to try it. Exciting times. We have a week off from book recommendations, so we can catch up on all the old ones in it. Next week, we have a philosopher on the podcast talking all things about nomadism, teaching, and the future, and books. So the book quota will be more than filled up there. And until then, enjoy the rest of your week, and I will encatch you. I almost got to the end of a podcast without making a mistake. Almost. Anyway, I will catch you next week. You've listened to an episode of the Growth Mindset Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe on your preferred app and give me a good rating. If you are unable to give good feedback right now, try sharing the show with a friend who will, or just wait for the show to improve. If you have any ideas for the show or you just want to reach out, I'd love to talk to you. On Twitter, I am at SamHarrisTweets, or Instagram, SamJamSnaps. Show notes, along with links to everything that we discuss, are available at growthmindsetpodcast.com, along with information on how to get involved and blog posts on cool things that you should be aware of. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy your next podcast.